0208878 5155. Sweet Estate, estate for the masses.
Is Fresh 107.9 FM, your feel-good radio.
Let's get to the music.
Why? The latest hits and the greatest memories.
Fresh.
107.9 FM. Listen via FreshFMNigeria.com or download Fresh 107.9 FM on Play Store.
Ololademi Asake.
Tune into the King of Songs and Blues.
Afa my jim of a paoni, you very for me, Lomi. Ishake kere o won la bi Jeff Bezos abi Elon Musk. Aside go mama do penny, to the ore to bo po bi dozen. Opo bi 40, Bezos bili.
Simba uses with the game we don't think alas.
So light with life as we speak on my path.
We are down, ginormous, scandalous, one of fabulous, stupendous, world famous, notorious, ambitious, profulous, nitty-gritty of 20.
All right, Shaka doing that beautiful track there, calls that one I Believe. I believe in a new Nigeria. I believe in a better Nigeria. I believe that there is light at the end of a tunnel. I believe that things Nigeria will work for everybody. Okay, I believe it's a very, very strong one. And with that one, I say welcome to the show. It is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Kuta. My name is Benga Oreshegun. I'm the man you just have to love. I'm not on the platform. Platform comes on your radio every Monday from 10 o'clock to 11. Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 o'clock till 11 a.m. 1 hour of beautiful conversation. So this time we're going to be looking in the way of tech, cybersecurity, and SMEs. Okay, and let's talk cybersecurity and Nigeria's small scale and medium enterprises. Talk about SMEs. How prepared are they as we focus on our eyes on tech? Now, when you take a look at some of the threats facing Nigeria's SMEs when it comes to cybersecurity, as far as awareness is concerned, where are they when it comes to cybersecurity, cyber attacks? There is also the issue of cost, training and maintenance. But I'm not going to be doing the talk alone. I'm just a broadcaster. I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm not a tech person. But I have a little idea about it. But I'm not going to be doing the talk alone. I have Musa, a tech expert, joining us via telephone. Musa, good morning to you. Hello? Hello, good morning. Can you hear me, Musa? Yeah, hello, good morning, Musa. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello, hi, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Hey. You can hear me now. Okay, then. All right, so we're here. Musa is a tech expert, so we're going to be having this conversation, talk about cybersecurity and SMEs. Good morning again, Musa.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
So, Musa, let's start with this. I remember, I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a time in Japan when Toyota, that motor company, they shut down all of their plants due to what they tagged as a computer glitch. And they ruled out that it is not hacking, but instead they just stuck to their guns and said, oh, it was just a computer glitch. Now, let's bring it down to Nigeria. Let's bring it back home now. And How is the lack of cybersecurity, how is it affecting Nigerian businesses and Nigerian individuals? What will you say is the risk level for Nigerian businesses, talk about SMEs in Nigeria, when it comes to cyber attacks and also to individuals as well?
Okay, hi, thank you very much. So pointing out the risk factor, I think the number one risk factor out there should be compliance. Yes. So we all know the world is, you know, slowly but, you know, progressively turning into a very, very big digital village. And, you know, more organizations, more people are being connected.
Okay.
So as a result of this, there has been a bunch of regulations that have, you know, been brought up to, you know, safeguard individuals' data.
Okay.
Organizations are collecting tons of data. So compliance steps into the forefront, and you get to realize that a lot of Nigerian organizations, particularly SMEs, they're not quite sure, you know, how compliant they are to certain cybersecurity regulations and practices. And, you know, I'm talking about ISO 27001 or the newly drafted NDPR, which is Nigerian Data Protection Regulation.
Okay.
It basically guides organizations on how to best handle and safeguard sensitive data that they collect.
Okay.
So that is the number one risk factor which regards Nigerian businesses, whether large or small scale, or in this case, SMEs. So compliance is one. Second is when it comes to data privacy.
Okay.
So similarly to compliance, but this one is with regards the organization's data itself. So you tend to realize that a lot of organizations don't really, you know, follow the right steps when it comes to data privacy. They don't know how to protect their own data. They don't know, you know, how to best utilize data moving within their own environment. So this, you know, creates a very big risk factor for cybersecurity, because if there's an incident with a data breach or, say, ransomware, for example, now most of these organizations tend to lose most of their data.
Okay.
And, you know, this, you know, creates a problem for them in the long run. You know, then there's also the issue of trust. Basically, we are a country where we don't really trust organizations with our data. We don't really trust, you know, their level of security. I'm just put it that way. I, for one, I don't trust organizations that well, because, you know, how they in their cybersecurity practices, and, you know, and that's because I understand the intricacies of how data is, you know, being stored and being protected and being moved, basically. So realize that a lot of organizations don't really have the best vote of confidence for the primary reason that the clients are a bit skeptical as to how these people are
as
protecting,
to how they handle it.
How they handle their data also. And there are also the other factors like business continuity, basically. So, you know, no organization is 100% safe from a cyber attack.
But
to be processes and procedures in place to ensure that business continues as normal, or at least 90% in the case of a cyber attack.
Okay.
Most organizations have a business continuity plan in place.
Okay.
So in situations where, you know, there's a cybersecurity incident, you know, they can still function normally. So some of these factors are just, you know, the oral risk factors.
Okay. So let's talk about, still talking Nigeria, cybersecurity, but here in Nigeria, do we have a proper cybersecurity policy? And if there is, do we have a proper cybersecurity enactment in Nigeria? But first off, let's start with, do we have a proper cybersecurity policy?
Yes, we do. So I referenced the NDPR, that's the Nigerian Data Protection Regulation, which was signed into law a couple of months ago by the former administration. Now, it was created out of the GDPR, which is the Global Data Protection Regulation set of policies. So these policies basically protect organizations and create a guideline as to how organizations should store and transport, you know,
can you say customers. That they follow through with this organizations, do they follow through to with the cybersecurity policy?
Honestly, it might be too general to say that they do or they don't, but I think it's something that they are being a whole lot more compliant towards. They are more stricter regulations. I know the NDPR does a great job in ensuring that organizations that deal with data are being are being vetted every single year.
Okay.
So they really have to re-certify themselves. So I think it's been enforced, and I think the compliance level is going to increase drastically over the next 1, 2, and in subsequent years. For now, maybe a lot of organizations may not really be aware that NPR exists, or they might not be aware that they have to be compliant to the policies and procedures listed in it. So I think for now, maybe compliance level is pretty low.
Pretty low.
50%. Yeah, maybe below 50%. But I think in the subsequent years and months and years, and with the great job the NDPR is doing, then yeah, compliance level is going to increase drastically.
Okay. Now, you talked about the cyber attacks, risk attacks when it comes to businesses, SMEs. Now, let's bring it down to individuals now. Now, as an individual who has, let's say, a laptop, all right, I do my business online, I interact in the cyberspace. What are the risk factors, okay, for individuals? What are the risk levels when it comes to cyber attacks for individuals, for people who use phones, you know, gadgets and all? What are the risk level?
Okay, so for individuals, I think it's, you know, it's sort of slightly similar to SMEs and businesses. So I think for starters, there's that high risk that you're going to get your data stolen. There's what we call identity theft, which is when someone pretends to be you online, and you know this is done by gathering information about you online. And you know this is basically to people that almost every single aspect of their life is on the internet. People know where you live, people know where you go to school, people know your favorite food, your favorite restaurants. So there's a high chance that someone out there is really building a profile on you and, you know, can use you for a lot of nefarious activities. So identity theft there.
Identity theft, okay.
Yeah, loss of personal data. Then you could even get ransomed. Your laptop could get ransomed. I know we all download movies from, you know, certain websites that are not supposed to be, you know. And there's that risk that you can infect your personal computer or even your phone. So there's identity.
Now, what do you mean by ransomed? I don't quite get that part.
Okay. So basically, a ransomware attack is an attack whereby a cyber attacker encrypts, meaning they scramble the information on your laptop in a way that is no longer humanly readable. So the idea is to destroy your data, or at least lock it, and then make you pay a certain amount of money for them to unlock it. Think of it like a kidnapping case, but for your data.
Okay.
The data is being ransomed. Yeah, so individuals stand the high risk of getting their laptops ransomed. I know a couple of friends have, you know, fallen prey to that, but fortunately for them, you know, they were ransomware that, you know, that they could easily find keys to unlock their data. Yeah, so individuals are susceptible to ransomware attacks. They are susceptible to malware attacks, basic malware attacks, where basically you, for example, you download a game that, you know, is pirated, and then you inevitably download a malware to your system, and then you realize that certain aspects of your laptop no longer function properly. Maybe you realize all your files have a weird logo on them, or a weird extension. An extension, by the way, is a file format, basically. So Word document .doc, text files .txt, so those are extensions. So
okay, I heard that about 3,000 malwares are created every day.
Okay.
So this is okay. Now let's still talk about the issue of cybersecurity policy. Now I heard someone say that still talking about the cybersecurity policy, that is it possible that for every laptop, you know, Nigel, we don't make our own laptops, we don't make our own computers, all right? We import these things. Now, is it possible that for every laptop, still talking about the cybersecurity policy, now, is it possible that for every laptop that comes into Nigeria, for it to come with a standard antivirus, can that be put into our cybersecurity policy?
Yes, it can. But it's also important to note that every single laptop by default comes with a default antivirus. So, for example, your Windows, that's the operating system, your HP, your Dell, your Toshiba laptop, by default, it comes with Windows Defender. So this already is an antivirus on its own. Then you can take a step further to install your own antivirus, you know, whichever one you're more comfortable with. Then for MacBook laptops, they come with their own antiviruses inbuilt by default. And I think it's already a global compliance thing.
It's already a global compliance thing, okay.
Yeah, that every single laptop manufacturer, every single operating system manufacturer should come by default with its own antivirus. But Nigeria on its own, we can't take a step further. You know, maybe if we build our own antivirus, we can ensure that, okay, whatever laptops are being imported must have our own antivirus installed. So I think that is something that can be done and maybe should be looked at.
Okay.
Because, I mean, every virus is unique to every single country. Or
no, because why I said that is, yes, okay, they come with their own virus. But some would say that they are not really the standard antivirus that can withstand or defend against all these evil viruses flying here and there on the cyberspace.
Okay.
Can you call that the ones that they come with as standard antivirus?
Yes, I can. Okay, so reason being that, so to understand how antiviruses protect your system, we need to understand how they work.
Okay.
So basically, antiviruses work by using virus signatures. So use a signature as a physical trait of a virus. So every single antivirus has a database of virus signatures. Let's say, for example, now, where you work, for example, I'm sure the security guard knows every single facial feature.
Okay.
Or every single physical feature of every single staff.
Of every single staff,
so each time a virus is created, it is stripped down, signatures are gotten and fed into an antivirus database.
Okay.
So each time any file enters your system, it scans it through that database. If it finds any of the signatures, it lists it as either malicious or non-malicious.
Okay.
Now, the reason why most viruses, it seems like they don't work, is because they are typically outdated. They are not upgraded. It's always advisable to use viruses when you're online. If you leave it offline, there's a high chance that any virus created after a particular time of the year, your antivirus may not pick it up because it's not familiar with that virus signature.
Okay.
So most virus developers, if you notice, they regularly update the antivirus and always tell you to use this antivirus online for better protection. Reason being, it automatically syncs with their databases. So in a situation where you feel like your antivirus is not, picking up certain viruses,
yes,
it's probably because the database itself is outdated. It's just a case of updating or upgrading. For better security, you can use more than one antivirus. So if this doesn't pick it up, it should definitely pick it up.
Okay. Now, during the campaigns, one of the presidential candidates, he had this software plan, to have Nigerian-made laptops and computers. As a tech person, Is it something that is possible, or is it just a pipe dream that we can one day manufacture this kind of big gadgets here in Nigeria?
So personally, I think it's 100% possible to manufacture your own products. It's even advisable to a large extent because, you can determine what you want in it and what you don't want in it.
Another one. Okay.
Yeah, but in the long run, you have to look at feasibility.
Feasibility.
You have to look at if you have proper regulatory compliances on board. You have to, if you're using the proper hardware, because your laptops or your personal computers being protected from viruses you can draw a straight line between it and the type of hardware you use, for example, because certain hardware are definitely more secure. So it's a good initiative. It's a feasible one. It's a welcome one. But then, how possible that would be.
But what will it take? What will it take for Nigeria to attain that feat?
Honestly, we just need to be more intentional about our security, both in the cyberspace and physically. If more focus, more investment is being pumped into it, it's doable. It's not a very, very grand dream. It's a very, very feasible one, but it requires the right processes.
All right, so let's still come down to SMEs and Nigerians. How will you assess the preparedness of SMEs and Nigerian, talk about individuals, and talk about the ones that you've consulted with on the issue of cybersecurity and possible attacks. How will you assess it, the preparedness of SMEs and private individuals when it comes to cyber attacks, most especially the ones you've consulted with?
Okay. So I think I would rate them like a 4/10.
A 4/10.
Yes, and it's primarily because most are not even quite sure how prepared they should be.
That's talking about the awareness. They're not aware.
Yes. They're basically not aware. Because I think, like, generally, we have a very, very lapsed sense of security. When it comes to cybersecurity, they're always like, ah, it can never happen to us. This enough it happened to me.
Okay.
So because of that lack of awareness, they just prepare as much as they feel they should be prepared, which is why I'm giving it like a solid 4/10, both from an individual and an SME perspective. Because I know a lot of people that practice not so great cyber hygiene.
Okay.
And, you know, we do our best to try and make them as self-aware as possible, try and give, offer them courses, show them assessments on how they can best prepare themselves.
Okay.
So it's an ongoing process, but I think it's something that is definitely achievable.
Well, if you just joined us, we're talking about cybersecurity as it affects Nigerian businesses, Nigerian SMEs, and also private individuals. I have a tech expert. He goes by the name Musa. Just Musa. Okay. So, Musa, thank you so much for joining us yet again. We are live on Facebook. On Facebook, it's Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. You can also tweet at us at Fresh FM, Abeokuta. If you have any tech question, okay, or any issue relating to cybersecurity, cyber attack, cyberspace, we have a tech expert in the house. He's joined us via phone. Okay, you can also call in and also drop your comments or get to ask questions. Now, so let's get on to it. Let's talk about a cybersecurity plan. Now, for an SME or private individual, how can an SMEs or the SMEs or an individual construct a cybersecurity plan?
Okay. So, when it comes to constructing a cybersecurity plan,
yes,
I think the number one thing any SME should consider is the policies that they should be compliant to.
Okay.
For example, if to collect personal data, personal identifiable data about people, age, name, phone number, house address.
Okay.
Then the NDPR, they need to be compliant to the NDPR. If they collect health information about individuals, there's HIPAA.
Okay.
And, you know, overall, if they are to operate, if they have, you know, information within the organization that needs to be protected, then there's the ISO.
Okay.
27,000 list of compliance regulations, basically. Then, you know, afterwards they also need to have an incident response plan.
Okay.
They also need to have a business continuity plan. And incident response plan is a plan of steps to take when, you know, they have a cyber attack. So depending on the type of cyber attack, there should be an incident response plan for that and a general incident response plan.
Okay.
Then there should be a business continuity plan, which I mentioned earlier, but to reinstate, it's a plan basically that ensures that your business continues to function despite a cyber attack. Then it's also there should also be a plan for natural disasters. This is, for example, maybe water has affected some of your systems,
yes,
or there's a fire somewhere. There should be a plan that caters for that to ensure that you don't lose any data.
Any data, okay.
Yes, and also your business continues to function. Mm. Then there should also be a plan for data backup.
Okay.
The world has become a very, very giant global digital village, basically, and information is being backed up to the cloud, left, right, center. So we need to ensure that our data is backed up. So
yes,
in the case of lose copies on personal computers or whatnot, they are due somewhere and we can easily still recover it. So I think all of this creates a foundational level of, you know, what SMEs should consider when drafting a cybersecurity plan.
Okay.
Then there's also, you know, having an information security person audit their systems every once in a while, maybe like once a year, ensure that they have the right antiviruses in place, ensure that they are compliant with the right regulations, ensure that their data is being protected, run vulnerability assessments, which basically checks for viruses and vulnerabilities both in software and hardware. So all of this can ensure that SMEs remain safe as possible.
Okay.
And, you know, in case of where there's an incident beyond their self-control, then they can easily, you know, escalate to organizations that deal with cybersecurity incidents. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's talk about money now. Let's talk about money for this cybersecurity. Let's talk about the cost dynamics of keeping up with cybersecurity for SMEs and individuals. Talk about antivirus. How much does it take to get antivirus in your computers and gadgets? You know, let's talk about the Benjamins this time. Okay?
Okay. Okay, so for the costs, I think generally, as I said earlier, by default, lots of personal computers already come with their own antiviruses. And, you know, because of that, I don't think organizations need to spend any extra money protecting themselves. But the average antivirus should cost you a few $100 a year in terms of subscription, depending on the size of the organization, depending on the amount of...
A few hundred dollars a year. So if you convert it to Naira, now that Naira is about $1,990 something... You know, so how much in Naira terms now?
In Naira, let's say anything between 500,000 to a million and above.
Well, hold on, 500,000.
Yeah,
for me to protect a year for me to protect my gadgets.
Yes. I mean, security is expensive.
I'd rather use anointing oil. What's going on? That's much. 500,000 naira for you to protect your data, gadgets, phones, and a year, and you need to renew it every year.
Yes.
Is the situation that bad?
To be frank, yes. To a large extent, yes, but then it's not at the level where panic should ensue. So for SMEs, I would suspect they have multiple laptops, 3, 4, maybe up to 10.
Okay.
And you need a plan that covers everything at the same time. So rather than chopping and changing and getting one antivirus each for, you know, 10 different computers, for example,
okay,
you could always subscribe to a plan. I know a lot of antivirus software providers have plans for SMEs.
Okay.
And, you know, you can subscribe on a yearly basis, and, you know, they protect the systems for you as long as you're connected to the internet and even offline stuff. So yes, you need to pay a relative amount of money to get good protection, because again, if you try and pirate some of the software, you're just putting yourself at further risk.
When you say the 500,000 maybe is for the big tech, big companies, and how about for just small, you know, it could be a nano company, I know, all these small businesses. We're talking about SMEs here, we're not talking about the major industry, we're talking about the small ones that I'm not sure their yearly turnover is maybe a little above a million.
Okay. So in that regard, there's Windows Defender, which is free and comes by default with every single Windows laptop. And then there are some other antivirus providers that you can get for between 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
2,000 naira. Okay, yes, a year.
Yeah.
But they are not. You can't vouch for those kind of antiviruses, right?
I mean, I can, but then that would mean me releasing specific products. So
okay.
I can't to a large extent, but I always just tell people Windows Defender works great for your PC. As long as regularly update your computer software, Windows Defender works. And it's free. It comes with your regular HP, Dell, Toshiba laptops.
Okay. All right. So is there any other thing that can be done for an individual, all right, for SMEs, to protect themselves from cyber attacks without having an antivirus, you know, which, just as you said, can be a bit expensive. Yes, it is expensive to some. How do we avoid these attacks, and what other form of protection can they hide under?
Okay, so I think the number one thing is understanding what sort of attacks you're susceptible to. So as I also mentioned earlier, a lot of cyber attacks happen because a lot of individuals are just not aware that that this sort of threat exists. So I think regularly taking cybersecurity courses, or registering for conferences or seminars where they teach cybersecurity, it goes a long way, because okay. the more knowledge you have, the more you're able to defend yourself against certain types of attacks. Not all attacks are targeted at your computer, for example. Some are targeted at you as an individual. This is called social engineering attacks, where someone tries to get knowledge from you by pretending to be something else. For example, send you an email that offer just won $10 million, click on this link. Click on this link. It's probably stealing your login information for your email or password stored on your browser, and before you know it, you've lost some of your financial information because you saved them somewhere. So being aware that certain types of attacks exist is a go-to way to ensure that I am being protected, because knowledge is power.
Now, protecting oneself, how can an individual identify, let's say, you talked about there are times you download movies from some places, and at the end of the day, you just use that as a conduit to get to your gadgets and wreak a havoc there. But is there something an individual or maybe businesses can know that, don't go there? Because I remember there was a time when I worked someplace and they said that, for some staff who want to get sneaky and want to be going through some X-rated sites, they said that because of that you can be attacked, talk about cyber attacks and viruses. Now, for those who don't even do that, is there some other way to identify that, this a list of sites that don't go into this particular site for whatever reason?
Okay, so I think the number one thing to look out for is the name of the website you're going to.
Okay.
Now, when if you suspect the name of any website you're going to, there's a high possibility that it's not a website you should be going to. Most website names have clear cutout names. For example, if you see Facebook.com, you're sure that this is Facebook.com.
Okay.
The same with Instagram and the like. So websites that look a bit somehow, you should always cast a suspicious eye. And on your browser, where you write the website name, there's usually this padlock just before it. So always ensure that padlock is there on any website. So this just shows that the website has a valid certificate. So every single website has a certificate that ensures that whatever information is being imputed onto the laptop is encrypted. Encryption means it's cracked. So even if there's somebody, sniffing at any point, During the network, that the person can't see anything in plain text.
Okay.
And there's also, laptops that have too many pop-up ads.
Okay.
So by default, most websites do not allow pop-up ads. Anyone that allows it, there's a high chance that at least two of every five pop-up ads you see, it's going to lead you to a malicious site. So websites with way too many pop-up ads, it's best to just avoid them.
Avoid them.
Generally.
Okay. All right. Still talking about cybersecurity, and you talked about the 4/10 awareness. Okay, that most of them are not really prepared, they're not aware. Now let's talk about cybersecurity training for SMEs. How frequent should it be? Should it be a yearly affair? Should it be a weekly affair? Should it be a monthly affair? Now, you're a tech firm. I'm sure some companies would definitely want to hire you for trainings. Now, for organizations, captains of industry that are probably listening right now, how frequent should it be? Should it be a yearly affair? Should it be a daily affair? Or should it be a weekly or monthly affair?
So personally, I think I would always do maybe 2-3 times a year.
Yes.
Maybe once every quarter. So number one reason being, it's best not to overwhelm people with information.
Okay.
If it's weekly or a monthly affair, there's a high chance that you're probably forcing knowledge down people's throat that, you know, that they can't really assimilate as quickly. But often enough, it's best to give them space to assimilate, organize, and properly implement some of the things that you say. So having trainings 2-3 times a year, I think it's best, maybe once every quarter or once every 4 months, and just put that way. So at the end of the year, you're sure that you've kept, you know, businesses up to speed with the dynamically changing threat landscape. Because the threat landscape changes every single year. It just depends on what the threat feel like they want to be doing. Like for this year, for example, there's been a lot of last year, for example, there were a lot of ransomware attacks.
Okay.
This year the focus seemed to be on service disruption. You know, I know a couple of times organizations have had their websites inaccessible because someone just thought, hey, okay, I am bored, let me make your website inaccessible. And there've also been a lot of data breaches.
Okay.
Organizations have lost, you know, information stored in their databases. So having this, you know, training programs a couple of times a year keeps organizations up to date with the best cybersecurity policies that they should be, you know, following through with, and also give them a better insight into the threat landscape or that particular time of the year.
Okay. Now, when we talk about this training, if for organizations, if let's say maybe an organization invites you to, okay, let come and train my staff and all of it, should it be just for the management staff, or should it cut across even to cleaners, gate man, you know, just a few people should be involved, or everybody from cleaner to gate man should also be involved?
Honestly, everybody. There's this popular saying in cybersecurity, which is security is everyone's business. So as long as someone is a staff of an organization, regardless of their designation, regardless of their daily activities, a cybersecurity training should involve them. Because every single cybersecurity attack takes quite a lot of time, usually between 3 to 6 months before most organizations even know that they were breached. So you don't know who can be, you know, the first line of attack. So
okay.
The best way to reduce the scope of attack for cyber actors is by educating every single person within an organization. So it's everyone's responsibility to be safe, starting from your gate man to the driver, all the way up to the CEO.
Okay. All right. So let's move away from that. Let's move into another realm. And when I say another realm, I'm talking about artificial intelligence. You know, the realm of artificial intelligence, we have this, the other one they call the deep fake thing, the deep fake. How much more complicated does this get for businesses in Nigeria? Just like I said earlier, I heard that 3,000 malwares are created every day. Now with the issue of artificial intelligence, the deep fake thing, How complicated would this be for businesses in Nigeria?
Well, it creates a very, very dynamic situation for them, because there's not really a lot of knowledge on just how dangerous AI can be. And there's also not a lot of knowledge with regards to how you can spot AI. So a ton of organizations are the detriment of misinformation, particularly with AI. And I think a whole lot more should be done with regards to educating businesses, individuals on, you know, just the extent to which AI can be used and, you know, the effects of AI itself. So I think it's a problem, and I think it's a problem that's going to continue to grow within the next couple of years as more AI technology is being introduced. Because, I mean, deepfake has gone beyond just pictures. They're now videos, they're now sounds. And, you know, they're not deep fake music. And, you know, they are so realistic that it creates a problem for the average individual who can really spot them to be able to identify them. So for a lot of businesses, it can create challenges for them with misinformation. It can create challenges for them with, with the way their reputation is being, you know, it's being used out there. So it's something organizations should be more aware of, and it's something that cybersecurity expert should educate people a whole lot more on particularly how to spot deep fake technology.
Okay. All right. Still talking about AI. Now, let me have your own perspective now as a tech person. Is artificial intelligence a blessing or a curse?
Okay, so before I go into that, I should first of all say that we were bound to get to this level.
Okay.
AI has been in development for the past 20 years, if I've been honest. And, you know, the idea is to make life easier for everybody. But to a fair extent, I feel like it's more of a problem than it is a blessing in the context of, one, there's no regulation to it at the moment. Two, it's still, you know, relatively uncharted waters for a lot of individuals, a lot of organizations. So the limits as to what it can or cannot do,
okay,
it's still up for debate. Then there's also that risk of the AI as we build becoming sentient. And by sentient, I mean it's having a mind of its own. We've seen terror incidences of AI self-learning at a rate faster than what the developers themselves are able to predict. And, you know, in the context of, you know, how bad deepfake has been and how, you know, all around, you know, terrible, and how, you know, it has made individuals a bit lazy with regards to their day-to-day functions, I think for now AI can be regarded as a curse rather than a blessing.
More than a blessing.
At least for now. This year we perfect what we want to use it for, because for now it's still a lot of trial and error. We saw it with the self-driving cars initially, and then with the virtual assistants on our phones, with ChatGPT, and you know, the ton of other software that help us write predictive text. And you know, even when you look at stuff AI generates, you just know that this was generated by AI. If someone writes text for me and sends it to me, I know that this person used AI, because there's just a very, very non-human way it generates stuff. And I think around for now, it's one of the biggest, I'll call it a mistake, but one of the biggest mishaps humans have done in the past 100 years.
Okay, now let's come back to Nigeria now. We have a minister for ICT and digital economy talk about in person of Dr. Bosun Tijani, and he has got a lot of priorities. He recently mentioned a $500 million fund for SMEs. Now, where do you think the Ministry of ICT and Digital Economy, where do you think the ministry will rank cybersecurity threats as far as the scope of what they are looking at for the country?
So, personally, I think it should be ranked as number one.
It should be ranked as number one?
Yes, from my perspective. Because, what I feel particularly helps us in this part of the world we find ourselves in is that most organizations are not really connected to the internet in terms of how their business should function. But the more out there you are, the more you're at risk of being attacked. So I think creating a foundational base for organizations to be cyber safe as they are growing from inception, it puts them in a better position to avoid most cyber attacks. So I think the ministry for the ICT ministry basically should rank cybersecurity number one, create a foundation where organizations are more cybersecurity aware and conscious, create policies, practices, procedures, regulation, and software also that would help protect SMEs as they are, you know, developing from scratch all the way up. So later on down the line, you save yourself money from implementing these things later on, and two, businesses and individuals are more confident that they can run their businesses without the risk of being attacked.
Okay. All right. You can also be a part of the show. It is the platform. Okay. We've been speaking with Musa, a tech expert. We're talking about cybersecurity as it affects you, as it affects your business. The numbers to call is 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. Peradventure, you have a question for the tech expert. who is joining us via phone. Okay, you have a question, as or maybe you want to just get to know one or two things when it comes to cyber attacks, as it affects you, as it affects your businesses. Feel free to call in on the show. We're also live on Facebook on Fresh 107.9 FM and Bill Kuta 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. We need to go on this quick break, and when we're back, we still have more conversation. Have a beautiful day.
Oh, the only detergent that keeps me bright and fresh. When I bought that look at you, I wouldn't wink. Viva Murphy English. It's all this aqua hidden net in your bed. Viva, chiri, viva. Maswa koko ato morenu do viva.
Viva, oh viva.
Ina som viva.
Opu yuche, viva. Omero viva titila.
Viva, oh viva. Ina som viva.
Opu yuche, viva. Omero viva titila.
Viva Plus Detergent, a quality cleaning powder from Aspira.
Sile ṣe IAS Unique Homes and Properties. Báwo ni mo ṣe lè ràn yín lọ́wọ́?
Ẹ ṣeun jàre ya mi, ilẹ̀ re mo fẹ́ ra, nẹ́rọ̀ rẹ mi kọ̀ wájú ọ̀dọ̀ yín mi.
Ẹ jẹ́ kí n fà yín lé ẹ̀ka ìlanilọ́yẹ̀ wa lọ́wọ́.
Ẹ ṣeun oníbàárà wa àtàtà. Mo láyọ̀ láti sọ fún yín pé ọ̀sẹ̀ àmójútó àwọn oníbàárà la wà báyìí. Ilẹ̀ tẹ bárà láti ìsinsìnyí títí dọjọ́ kẹwàá oṣù kẹwàá yìí. Ìdá mẹ́wàá péré lẹ máa san. Tẹ̀sí máa gba plot number àti block number yín lẹ́sẹ̀kẹsẹ̀. Ẹ wá fi oṣù mẹ́wàá gbáko san èyí tó kù. Mẹ́wàá yìí náà ni ó pọ̀ gan ṣe mọ̀. Tẹ bá ti wá san owó dé ìdajì, ẹ bọ́ sórí ilẹ̀ yín, ẹ sì máa kọ́lé lọ. Ṣé àlàyé mi yẹn yín ṣá? Oye abẹ́ ṣe máa san ìdá mẹ́wàá rè o. Òmìnira Unique City Pọ́nkùkù 30,000 naira lẹ máa san nínú 300,000 naira. Àgbàlá Wura Mile 8 Ajẹ́bọ̀ Road 75,000 naira nínú 750,000 naira. Ìsinmi Ẹ̀gbá Ìdíòrì 200,000 naira nínú 2 million naira. King City Alamala Barracks 250,000 naira nínú 2.5 million naira. Ẹ pé 091-39-011-255.
Yeah, we're back on radio. We still have, if you just joined us, this is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM. I'm Bill Kuta. We're talking with Musa, a tech expert, okay, trying to enlighten us about cybersecurity, cyber attacks, as it affects you as an individual, and also as it affects business owners, SMEs, okay, here in Nigeria. So let's continue with the conversation. Now let's talk about the issue of manpower. Musa, good morning once again.
Hello, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, good
morning. So let's talk about the issue of manpower. You know, the manpower to defend against cyber attacks. And what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to talk about skills. Because I remember one of the governors actually said wants to build a 1 million digital system. But how will you assess the skill level of young tech folks in Nigeria? And do you think we can compete with the world out there? But before then, let's just pick up the score. Just hold on. Hello, good morning. Oh, we lost that call. All right, so continue. So what do you say? How would, do you think we, the young tech folks in Nigeria, we can compete with the tech folks out there all around the world?
Definitely. So I personally have a community of highly skilled individuals, and these are individuals that have been in cybersecurity for the past 10-15 years. So there are a lot of highly skilled individuals, but I think the major problem is there's a drastic skill gap between those that are highly skilled and those that are, you know, still at the beginner level of their career as cybersecurity professionals.
Okay.
So definitely, Nigerians from, you know, within Nigeria compete a lot, and even, you know, best, yeah, counterparts outside the country.
Okay.
So yeah, the skill level already exists. It's quite high. The percentage of which compared to the overall population is what I cannot, you know, really pinpoint. And by overall population, I meant overall population of, you know, cybersecurity professionals. And a lot of organizations the past couple of years have made it their mission to, you know, get more individuals into cybersecurity, more individuals who are skilled into cybersecurity, and, you know, create that base of cybersecurity professionals for organizations within and outside the country to pick, you know, from the talent pool. So I think Nigeria really has a budding professional cybersecurity space, and I think all that's left is for organizations to streamline their focus in terms of what sort of professionals that they need.
Okay.
Because there's always that, you know, general misconception about, what cybersecurity, what organizations need in terms of cybersecurity professionals. Most of the time, they just look for generalists. When you know, the roles that they want specifically can't be divided into several other roles.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, for a young Nigerian listening right now, okay, maybe thinking of going into what you do as a career choice, what are the requirements, and also are there enough opportunities in Nigeria?
Okay, so when it comes to requirement, honestly, you just have to have a curious mind. Like, personally, I didn't study anything science or computer related. I actually studied history, and you know, I just stumbled upon all of this because I read an article on a cyber attack, and you know, I was curious about the virus, and then I researched more on the virus, then subsequently learned how to build viruses, and you know, because of that, I just stumbled upon a career path that I didn't know existed.
Okay.
But it's an open career for anybody. You just have to be curious. You just need to know the sort of problems you want to solve within the cyberspace, and there's a career path for you. And in terms of opportunities, the opportunities are limitless. There's literally nothing you cannot achieve from a personal perspective.
Okay.
As long as you have the right focus and the right direction. Because it's often easy to, you know, stumble into the career professionally and you're overwhelmed by everything, you want to chart everything, you want to do everything. So I always advise people to find a niche, find something you like doing, get really good at it, and the opportunities would always come your way. Then all you have to just decide whether or not you want to work for this organization or you know, the type of work that you want to do. So the opportunities are there.
Okay, so how is the Japa phenomenon, has it impacted on tech firms, you know, here in Nigeria like yourself?
So let me use organizations basically. So a lot of organizations have lost a lot of skilled talent.
A lot.
Yeah, to the quote unquote Japa phenomenon. I know one or two financial institutions that literally had to change, that literally lost almost their entire cybersecurity team within the space of a couple of months because everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know a few banks that have been the issue for them. So I think it has unfortunately stolen a lot of talented individuals from within the country. But in the same vein, it has created opportunities for other upcoming talents, quote unquote, to fill those roles. Because it's one thing learning on your own. It's another thing having the opportunities to learn and, you know, to fully express yourself. And personally, I learn by solving problems. If there's a problem to solve, as long as I'm faced with a problem to solve, I would always go to the occasion. That has just been the way I function. And I got to realize that is a better avenue for people to learn when they're put into positions where the position that require them to solve real-life problems. On one hand, Java has, you know, stolen talents, but on the other hand, it has opened up space for other individuals to rise up to the occasion.
Now, this is going to be my final question to you. Okay, still talking about this issue of Java. Now, I want your personal opinion here. What can the Nigerian government do to make tech guys like you, you know, stay in Nigeria instead of thinking of running to the greener pasture?
Frankly, personally, I think more dynamic opportunities, more collaboration, more tech boot camps that pit individuals against each other in trying to solve real life problems.
Okay.
But I think most importantly, it's more opportunities. So most of the opportunities you might get might be limited to the scope of what the organizations do, but if the government creates, you know, more or better avenues for individuals within Sahara security space to actually directly influence, you know, what affects the country from a Sahara security perspective.
Okay.
I think that would create a new division of Sahara security professionals that are particularly in line with threat intelligence, espionage, counterterrorism to a large extent. And you know, the more dynamic of the the more people would want to stay, and maybe better enumeration all around, because if you
better enumeration, now you're talking, is the money. Yeah, the money.
Yeah. So if you compare pound to pound what individuals earn outside the country compared to within the country,
yes,
the gap is drastic. And you know, it's a field where you constantly need to learn, take, you know, professional certificates, and you know, this costs money basically. So if people summarily earn more, as much as they're learning, honestly, there won't be any need to leave. I know a couple of friends that stated that if they get very good paying jobs, they won't bother living in Nigeria, because what are they going to download for outside, quote unquote?
Exactly.
So I think government has a lot to do with regards to creating opportunities and, you know, fostering partnerships with, you know, other security professionals outside the country. This helps everybody all around, because you're gaining knowledge from them. Yeah, because you can't experience everything in a particular place. You need to experience things differently. So the more people you interact with, the more, you know, you get to learn from them and vice versa.
But thank you very much. This has been a very, very informative conversation, Musa. Musa is a tech expert, and we've been having this conversation for about 56 minutes. But thank you so much for joining me to have this conversation with me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, that's the size of our package on the platform this beautiful Monday morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday. We'll be back again on Wednesday to have another conversation. It's something different, totally different, but we have robust conversation on the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. My name is Gbenga Oreshegun, the man you just have to love. Good morning and have a beautiful day.
From the Rock City of Nigeria. Rock City of Nigeria. This is Fresh 107.9.
Undo keriri, keriri. Omilu titi. Fresh 107.9 FM labe oluma. Wan gbo loke lala. Egbalawa ilu Abeokuta.
Only Kalole Gay. Oh, yeah, Jerry, a Saint Genie. Matule Beres, Anne, Betty Simon Borio. I want Shelleton Shelleludio. Yala Bola Lafes, a Sekiko. But the Lenya Lafa Jobaluri concrete Tamasi tennis. Ere, Daraya Resisa, Hatibi, Atibe, Bello, Nikani Tomile Kiki. Fresh FM 107.9. Towa ni Bio Kuta. A Gomoka no Wuro. Titi Diago Mejila. Lemma Bolo Jajo Monday. Si Jua Pameta Saturday. Akimu Shitsu. AK Sports ni o ma jalule seti igbo wa e sha ti makani to le tente lori oke osoba presidential hilltop Abeokuta la kale si AK Sports o ya ni so nibe.
Ifagagbaga komese oyo ti bere laarin awon ikan ni tin gbohun safefe ala ni o foko ole han bi kun lonuko bi pakute ni ibile o ti teju lati jinyeke feredun o ye o iruku solala enikan forigbe ikeji fayagba o fese ta se niketa ko to debe elomi gba lowo e o mo se o ile ti yo kabakaba o sare dide kawu kafo kafo kawi ta lele gera to gbeburu yo yi fresh oge kini oge keji oge tata ariwota o ti de waju box 18 idojukoju pelu goli
Fresh 107.9 FM. Akogun laarin awon ikanni toku.
Ibepe to pon la ponju.
O ja bo fonka.
O fon lo ba tan.
Eso dara dara ti fo.
Adegun keke ko lo mo eleyin
gogo eyin ti fonka.
O teyin ati so ajara.
O lo lo lu so gidi ni.
Eso tolorun gbi o. Se bohun lo fi wa so. Tori ko ma ba ja bo fon ta se pa bo yi ka aja bale re o
o si fan o tun dan
107.9 FM
na fresh the fresh
kapo lowo ja ko dan maran
o tun ko ndan girin
an exhaustive news
na fresh the fresh
ka se to kunju owo
o tun ko ndan girin
programs full of wisdom
na fresh.